football on Off the Ball.
I would like to think the will is there, but you know, the resources have to be found from somewhere to try and do that, because you know, you want your team to get stronger. We want to be qualified for major tournaments. That's how these girls are going to get better.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
How's it going? You're very welcome along to the Football Pod with Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue and Tommy Rooney. A hurling weekend this weekend. I was flat out. I was in the Gaelic grounds for Limerick and Cork and in Cusick Park for Clare and Wexford working on the hurling this weekend. Paddy Andrews, James O'Donoghue, what did you get up to in your weekend off? Studying, I presume, ahead of a crucial round six in the National Football Leagues.
You did put a threatening message into the WhatsApp last night about doing homework. I actually showed my wife and she sniggered at me. I was watching a bit of the hurling as well, Tommy, I have to say. Beautiful sunshine around Dublin, finally. So out and about during the day with the Nippers, and then watched a bit of mix between the rugby and the hurling over the weekend. But looking forward to getting back to the big ball this weekend. The real stuff, you know.
Yeah, the rugby, nice. The rugby was good, wasn't it? I watched a bit of the rugby. Watched a bit of France and Scotland, obviously. Ooh. Our game, and then got out for a few holes of golf on Saturday.
Lovely. Ooh. Nice, James.
A brilliant performance, I must say.
I love that. I love the
You
hear.
Have all that the was, shots, Jimmy. You have all the shots. I've always said
I had a lesson. I had a lesson on Friday and then played on Saturday. Lovely. So obviously, I could scratch off the first six holes tonight because I was trying the new stuff.
Things.
And then reverting exactly. Straight back to the old stuff after six.
Never do another lesson. Waste the money, like.
No, they were good. A couple of good tips now about the hip and things.
Okay.
Yes.
And
James, when it clicks upstairs, it's like learning to drive a car. That's what I always say. Took me a long time to learn how to drive a car.
Getting the biting point of the clutch and the accelerator. Yeah, yeah.
But I'm a good driver now. I'm a good driver.
Fast. You're not. Tom, I've been in the car with you. You're an absolute liability on the road.
I'm not. Don't say that.
Don't get him in trouble, Jimmy. Don't get him in trouble. It's that time of year, though, lads, isn't it? Little spring is creeping in. A few holes of golf here and there. Why not?
I managed to get out at 7:30 on Sunday morning.
I seen that.
With one of the boys. Like, what a beautiful time of the year. Yeah, so...
It is nice, but is it conducive to playing football, is the question. I think I might have to park it up already.
Did you listen to Gareth Bale on the overlap?
I did, yeah.
Good, wasn't it?
He has the same thing I had. Do you see it? He said he could tear a soleus brushing his teeth. I had that. My back was in shite.
Wow. How many Champions League medals do you have?
I only got 3.
5 between them.
He ended up with 5.
Or was it that bad, James? Was it that bad, yeah?
Well, I had the same thing, the disc on the nerve, and then if I was walking down the stairs, I could tear the soleus, no matter how much work you did in it.
And did you ever get it sorted?
It's not too bad, no.
Okay.
It's not as bad. But he came across very well in the interview, didn't he, Bill?
Mm. Yeah. Really normal.
Retired at 33, like, he could have went to Saudi, you think, and not that he needs much money, obviously, you'd imagine, but...
Yeah, he played.
I thought it was good. He was kind of fed up, wasn't he? Had enough, really.
I enjoyed listening.
It happened. I'd say it definitely happens in the professional scene. Like, you're probably just pushed to the side a bit easier.
Mm. It was nice listening to him talking about Ronaldo and playing with Ronaldo. And he strikes me as the sort of fella that wouldn't have gotten too excited in Ronaldo's presence either. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. He was very laid back, wasn't he? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you see, he poked a bit of fun at Keane, and Keane was like, I'll make the jokes around here, if you don't mind. And he was dead serious. He was like, don't take the piss out of me. Oh, I love Keane.
So, nice seeing that side of a footballer as well. So it was nice to get that across. Right. But yeah, nice to see you had a wholesome weekend, lads. That's good to hear. Paddy, you're doing
wholesome weekend,
work as
absolutely.
Well. Okay. Right, big indeed, weekend ahead of the football. A bit of house business to take care of before we get into the matches themselves. The AIB GAA Club Football Team of the Year was announced during the week.
Yes.
And on Friday night, the 4 codes are being celebrated, and they're all 60 players, and I'm sure their partners or guests are going to be at it as well in Crow Park. So a big night in the calendar. The team, Rory Began from Scotstown, a previous winner in 2024 in goals. Damien McArdle from Scotstown. Sean Trundle from Bridget's, and Tom O'Sullivan from Dangany Coosh in the full-back line. Rory Fallon, who had won previously in 24, Conor Flannery from Dingle, and Paul McGrath from St. Bridget's in the half-back line. Mark O'Connor and Keane Darcy, that's a fair midfield. Half forward line of Ross McGarry, the second Ballyboden St. Enda's player, Connor Hand, who was brilliant for St. Bridget's centre forward, and then Dylan Ganey, who wore the number 12 for Dingle throughout the year. And inside, Ryan O'Dwyer, who impressed for Ballyboden throughout the year. We haven't seen him yet with the Dubs, Paddy. I wonder will we see him at some stage. Paul Ganey.
I don't know if we are going to, by all accounts, I believe. Which would be surprising sometimes, because he's racked up some serious scoring in the Dublin Championship as well, all the way through to the semi-final for both.
Just not brought in at all?
I don't know if he was asked and he's not coming in or not. I'm not sure if he's actually going to be involved this season. That's as much as I know.
It could be tricky with that long club season too, can't it? You know, if you missed that bit of momentum at the start of the year and you've had a long campaign with the club to, especially in the split season.
Definitely worth a look though, wasn't he? You know?
He's a footballer.
Big scorer, yeah.
Yeah, a tasty full forward line. Ryan O'Dwyer, Paul Ganey and Stephen Sherlock, who had previously won an All-Star in 2022. And then the Club Footballer of the Year nominees is going to be announced on the night. These three all had phenomenal years. Dylan Ganey and Thomas Sullivan from the Champions, Dingle, and Rory Fallon from St. Bridget's. So a fair team. And the Camogie
team, lads,
winners,
we do that every
football
year.
Winners,
like, what?
And hurling winners too.
How would that club team do in the Championship? Like, that's a very, very, very good club team. Like that 15, what would they do?
You'd be touch and go to win it, I'd say.
Win the All-Ireland? Win the Sam McGuire?
No, I think so. Huh?
That's a very good team. Very, very good team.
Tom Sullivan, Mark O'Connor, Keane Darcy, Conor Hand, Dylan Ganey, Paul Ganey, Ryan O'Dwyer, Stephen Sherlock.
That's a good
team. They're household names. I reckon you'd be touch and go. Do you not think?
Say you put them in. Would they win the Leinster or Connacht Championship?
Connacht is very, very competitive, I suppose. They get to the Munster final.
They wouldn't be. I don't think they'd beat Kerry. Like, but I think they could win a Leinster. I think they'd be the best team in the Leinster Championship, would they be?
I'd say so, yeah. I think so.
That's a very good team. Like, I know club teams, but the club all-stars is obviously players of high quality, but that one there, like I said, the mixed, even the lads who aren't inter-county household names, you'd be seeing them through the winter. Like, they're serious athletes, serious players. I think that's has a little bit of everything, that team. Yeah. The athleticism, the doggedness, the little bit of silk up front, they'll kick scores. I think that team would go very, very, very well in the summer.
Yeah. Like, it's such a different game, the club and the intercounty game, isn't it? Like, Sherlock is a phenomenal player in the club All-Ireland. Do you know, he hasn't really started lighting it up at intercounty. He probably gets more scope to do it. Even, do you remember when you asked Dylan about that? Dylan Ganey, would he take up those shots at county level? He doesn't, but you're kind of more free at club level to maybe to express yourself a little more.
But also, Jimmy, like, the conditions, Sherlock. Remember, these guys are playing it. And this is like true December, January, horrendous conditions. What would that forward line do in Croke Park in May, June, July as well? Like, so
I would light it up.
Hypothetical, you never know. But that's just a serious quality all over the pitch in that club All-Stars.
They did well to get Tom Sullivan in a cornerback, seeing as he spent 0% of his time there.
Were you on this?
He should have been playing on top of the D.
No, I wasn't. I wasn't.
Yeah, make a quarterback.
Was it? Who was telling us? Was it Paul telling us about Tom being in the four-man press in the full forward line, and the lads looking around going, "We don't have a four-man press."
What are you doing up here? Get out of here!
Yeah. So look, that'll be a nice end to the club campaign for the winners from the hurling, the Camogie, the football, and the ladies football. So that's on Friday night in Croke Park. So best luck to everyone there, and the. All the pair of the years will be named on the night as well. So, lads, Friday night games. This reared its head last week. Declan McBennett was out looking for a mature debate around TV coverage in Gaelic games, and there was a couple of interviews off the back of it. And one little line that he slipped out there that kind of changed the narrative of the conversation was that maybe Friday night games could be a thing. And we actually had our first league game of the year on Friday night with the club. We drew at Wolf Tones, Cratlow, and a really actually good, fast-paced game of football. And end-to-end, but even for club teams, for lads...
You'll be the judge of that, Tommy.
Getting to work. But for lads getting from work to the game, you know, it's not easy getting there for 6 o'clock. Like, and,
no.
And we'd have fellas working in construction or different companies and various different bits and pieces. And it's all right for me. I'm usually off on a Friday. I have to feed up. But,
and like, a Thursday and Wednesday and a Tuesday.
For other fellas, there was a big stress to get there. So I just wonder how feasible it would have been for intercounty football. Would it have been something that would have appealed to ye? Because I think it could be something that would be cool for the consumer, for the audience, but for the players.
I think there's that, particularly now with the amount of games there are through both the leagues and hurling and football, and obviously with the restructuring in the football championship as well. Without a doubt, the public would like to watch Gaelic football on a Friday night. Of course they would. I made my debut nearly 20 years ago, 2008. With Dublin, and this conversation was had, and tell you now, it's come up about 7 or 8 times since then. Not in a million years is this ever going to happen. No chance. Complete waste of airtime. McBennett just throwing that out. Tom Parsons spoke about this last week. The reason is the GPA are involved, and they're looking at the players' careers, whether it's basically anyone in full-time employment. You said it, Tommy. That's the nail in the head. So with all, yes, there's a commercial demand for it. There's supporters would love to see it. It will never, ever, ever happen. So there's no point. I don't know if we want to discuss it anymore, but there's no way players are working in full-time employment that they're going to get a day off. And Tom Parsons was talking about compensation and employers doing all that type of thing. It's not going to happen. No chance.
Yeah. Yeah, and even like some people might be going, oh, do they need a day off? But I had one experience of a Friday night game just in the county championship in Kerry. We were playing with the Legion against Aston Stacks away. So I was working in the bank on the Friday. The game must have been on at maybe 7 o'clock or whatever. So like you have to, say if you finish work, even you get lucky you're off at 4:30, you still have to eat, get to the game. Like, even calm down a bit after work. I remember we were playing midway through the first half and I was still like a ball of anxiety from just getting up.
Did I send that email or not? I've have to duck that email and send that report. This is like in club games and stuff. I know we have it at underage, but the boys aren't working in terms of, some of them maybe are in under 20s. Like, but imagine like the preparation that goes into senior inter-county championship matches. Whether that's right or wrong, but that is the case. Imagine Donegal playing an Ulster Championship match on a Friday night and Jim McGuinness says Michael Murphy rocking in from work at 5 o'clock in the suit. Like, it's just it's not happening. Like, it is never, ever, ever going to happen. Until GAA goes professional, which we know is never going to happen either, this debate, unfortunately, is just a waste of time.
Exactly. Like, even with that, I have been obviously at a good level at the time and preparing very well, and I was still unable to kind of get myself ready for that game. So it is a case of you'd have to get the day off work, and that's completely unfeasible. It's not going to happen. So
no paid leave,
but there's nothing wrong with games on the weekend, isn't there?
I know that it was interesting that it was thrown out again. You know, when the debate is around TV coverage. And
it's a distraction. Something else is going on.
I don't know, but...
Do you know, potentially, we played that famous game 2009, Dublin Kerry. That was on Monday. It was a bank holiday on Monday.
Yeah.
So that didn't go too well for us, but...
You were working in the morning.
Was that the start of Leo's
that's
game?
That's why I was so bad. I was coming straight from Davie. I was placing trades that morning and had to go with Mark Gooch after lunch.
Wow. I forgot that was a Monday.
That's why it was so bad. The US markets were open. No, but that's maybe something you could do August. Well, August, it's going to be all Ireland finals in August. So, but maybe the May and June bank holidays that you could play around the games and the bank holiday Monday. It's only two additional days, but outside of that, I know there's loads of games. I know people want to watch them and there's demand for more coverage, but it's going to be Saturdays and Sundays, I'm afraid.
Yeah, for sure.
Club league games on Fridays, brilliant. Honestly, perfect, because it frees up the weekend.
Yeah.
A championship game has to be a Saturday or Sunday, but a league game in the club scene can be a Friday night. I that's as far as I go with it.
But even to get that, Jimmy, like, again, I agree with that. There's such a rigmarole between the two clubs to try and arrange that, between the managers, because most players be like, yeah, definitely, give me my weekend free, but it might be, listen, your man's coming from work or he's something on there, we can't do it on a Friday. And in most cases, that's not feasible either. And that's literally a club league game where the two clubs are trying to find the solution. So when you get into senior inter-county championship, and you have this all has to be agreed months in advance. You know, the draws are made, the schedules are put in.
Yeah.
It's just, it's not.
Anytime there's like a bit of a solution thrown out, it's like, oh, a local rivalry, so a Kerry Cork game or a Dublin Meath game. It was trialed back in 2013. I don't know if you remember, but June 28, 2013, 4,606 people turned up to Dr. Cullen Park for Laois 3-13, Carlow 12 points in the All-Ireland qualifiers round one on a Friday night. And it was trialed that time, so I don't know. We might see a one-off game once every so often, but I think you're right, Paddy. I don't think it's ever going to become a genuine thing. Okay, we'll move on. Because this is a massive weekend this weekend. And I sent out the back call to do a bit of homework. Where did your copybook land, Paddy?
Tommy, I Ireland covered wins. All the games. So, yeah, Scotland-France game. I thought Scotland was brilliant. Where do you want to start, Tommy? Because it is... There's lots of brilliant games this weekend. So you tell me and we'll cover it off. Jimmy has just got Kerry Mayo as usual. So,
yeah,
what a game.
Jimmy will sell Kerry Mayo to the audience, no problem with that. I think Division 2 is, I said at the start of this season and every season, I find it the best division. I think Tyrone Mead is a brilliant game this weekend. Tyrone, obviously, Derek Canavan, less Mead, a win there, and they're right in the mix for promotion. That's sort of for them, that would be a brilliant spring, and for Robbie Brennan and that group of players, for Tyrone, you know, if they win it, they're right back in it, and maybe any question marks you have around them are gone. But if they lose it, and it means they're not getting promoted, Derek Canavan's away, all of a sudden the story of their season just goes a little bit more into the negative column. So that's a big one. Westmeath and Limerick, Division 3, you know, down, have done what we all expected them to do and getting promotion on their side. I would have thought Mark McHugh and Westmeath would get promoted. And they still might.
Yeah, we might.
But that's a big game. If they don't get the job done there, there's no doubt that would have been a target for Westmeath, so that they'd be disappointed.
We might start.
That's it.
So we might start there.
Loads of big games, yeah.
Yeah, might start there in Division 3 because, as we mentioned last week on the pod, Down are the only team in the country with 5 wins from 5 and they're motoring really nicely. Promotion will essentially be secured this weekend. You know, I don't think they're going to be caught. And they obviously have Donegal in the Ulster Championship. So they're in a really good place. And they got their pre-season or their mid-season trip out of the way a couple of weeks back, as we mentioned before, over to Portugal. So Conor Laverty and co are cooking. But behind Down in the table, as you mentioned, Paddy, Westmeath are one of three teams on 6 points. Wexford are there. And Clare there too. And they meet this weekend in Cusick Park in Ennis on Sunday. So that is a huge game for both of those. And I hadn't actually got eyes on it, but Morris Brosnan brought it up in the Examiner pod last week that Mark McInerney for Clare scored 2-pointers with either feet from play in that game. Also scored the new hat-trick in the game, a goal, a point, and a 2-pointer as well. So a serious scoring feat from Mark McInerney, who's obviously blossoming into a brilliant footballer for Clare as well. So he's been brilliant at the Sigerson level and underage level and has really grown into a savage forward in the new rules. Interestingly, trialled in goals at times in the last 18 months, but he is a forward out and out. That's a big one. And Westmeath playing Limerick, Paddy, in Mullingar as well. You know, I think Westmeath are going to have to... They're obviously targeting promotion. They're obviously targeting a big Leinster campaign, but they've got Limerick and they've got Wexford, two huge games ahead if they want to get promoted.
I still fancy them to go through. I know Mark McHugh has had some comments. He's been frustrated with some of his players over the last couple of weeks, but it's an interesting case. Like, they won the O'Byrne Cup, obviously, in dramatic fashion, coming back to beat Kildare, and that kind of gave them a bit of momentum. They started the league well in Division 3, and I think... Maybe because you're right in the mix of it over this side, but I think the Leinster Championship is a fascinating story this season because it's wide open and the focus is obviously between Meath, Dublin and Louth. Kildare are coming. Westmeath will fancy their chances of doing something there as well. Like, but it is a case of, we're at the stage in the season like where these two games, like, see, Division 1 doesn't really, it's not that important for those teams that are in Division 1, even with Dublin and Armagh, the relegation kind of shoot-off that's going to happen at the weekend. You kind of know where those teams and what they're trying to do. For Division 2 and 3 and 4, you have a good league campaign, it could just set up the momentum for the whole season. And for Westmeath, if they don't get promoted, there's no doubt that that puts a bit of a damper on what Mark McHugh and those players are trying to do. And the same, we talked about Division 2 with Malik O'Rourke at Tyrone. Look at what Derry have done under Kieran Meaney. Well, you know, they couldn't win a match for nearly a year and a half. And all of a sudden, they go on a bit of a run. They could get promoted over the next couple of weekends, and they become a real force in the Ulster Championship as well on the back of that. So just momentum on where teams are at in the season, the next couple of weekends can really, people say, oh, it's only the league, but they can make or break, you know, the momentum and the atmosphere in a group of players for the season, for the championship ahead. So that's why this weekend, it's massive. And like I say, I think the most interesting storylines are across Division 2 and 3, and look, 4 as well. But
It's like Westmeath got a bit of a clip in the last day from Laois in that local derby, and you know, it's amazing how one result, as you said, Paddy, can kind of just skew the entire league. Like, we'll come to Kerry and Mayo in Division 1 in a couple of minutes, but like, Kerry won the league, right, last year, and at this stage last year, going into round 6, they were on 4 points and they were in a 6th position in the table. Like, Tyrone obviously got relegated with 7 points. And when you're just looking at the cluster of teams in both Division 3 and Division 4, it's incredible how nothing is sorted yet. And everything really is on the line there between second position and sixth position in Division 3. We've got Westmeath, Wexford, Clare on 6 points, Laois on 5 points, Sligo on 4, and Limerick on 3 points. So Limerick are out of the promotion race, but they need to win to stay up. And likewise, Sligo, who played Down and Clare, two teams chasing promotion in the next two games, also need to win if they want to avoid relegation as well. So it's really getting...
But you're going to the final weekend, Tommy. That's where the leagues are unbelievable competition. We say it every season. As players, when you're playing in it, you absolutely love it. Supporters love it. It's dramatic. It will go to the final day across those Division 2, 3 and 4. You'll have a clearer picture after this weekend, but the storylines for teams and where they're trending it's a brilliant part of the spring for the next couple of weeks.
And you know, like, Division 2, we always say, is where it's at, right? But for some of those teams in Division 3 to get up to 2, like, Down are probably a Division 2 side, you know, at worst. Realistically, they should be up there.
Are they better than Cavan, Jimmy? Cavan's probably going to go down. But like, if Cavan played down the Ulster Championship, who would you be backing to win that game?
I'd be backing Down. I would have, from what's happened the last couple of weeks.
Probably definitely. Would as well, yeah.
And but last year, looking at the evidence.
Yeah, the boost that Clare would get from going back to 2, Westmeath would get from going back to 2, it brings you on. Like, Division 3 is ultra competitive, but I suppose the quality is a little bit... there's a drop-off, as opposed to maybe the difference between 1 and 2 isn't as stark. If you can get to 2, you're just at a really solid base to progress. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see who gets up, but in terms of the long-term development of those teams, getting up to 2 would be absolutely huge for them.
Yeah. The team has to be ready for 2, James, right? There's no point going up if I know I'm not saying somebody doesn't want to go up, but there's no point going up if the squad isn't ready, or it isn't ready to kind of push on. And you would look at a Westmeath, you'd look at a Clare and Down. They need to be up and around 2, you know. And maybe Clare,
they do.
I look at Clare sometimes and think maybe a Tatch and Cup win would be brilliant for them. But I don't know that they want that as a group. I don't know that they want that as a squad.
But so, you look, Tommy, who's probably going to go down from Division 2. Like, it's the two teams that came up last year.
Yeah.
Kildare and Offaly. And Kildare, this is the stuff we're talking about. The momentum, how one result can swing a whole season. And you look back to Kildare, who started the campaign quite good, and all the momentum they seem to have behind them, and they don't beat Derry in Newbridge on that Saturday night when Derry are down, lose Conor Glass early in the game. And like, a win for Kildare there probably gets them safe, and they're nearly looking, it's a big win for that group, lots of young players and Brian Flanagan and his crew, what they're trying to do, that they'd knock off Derry. And they're nearly looking for an outside bet for promotion. They lose that game, bad result last week, and they've tough games to try and stay in Division 2 now. And awfully, it looks like their race is run, that they're going to go back down. We know they have a young team and what they're trying to do with Declan Kelly and Mickey Hart. So it's just those fine lines. But I agree, if you've got a young group of players, the best way to get better is exposure to... That's where you're going to learn. You're going to learn from maybe some tough defeats, but that's how you're going to get better outside your comfort zone as a group and as players and as coaches. So it's just so important for a team's development.
Yeah,
I couldn't 100%. Agree more. I couldn't agree more. I think you have to get up. Like, I know what you're saying, you know, are you ready or whatever, but you'd be more likely to make yourself ready once you're there than getting ready in a division below. Like, how do you ever know if you're ready or not until you're landed in it and you're fighting for your life? And like the development in the squad you get from jumping up that level, like that's how you have your magic days then. So I think it'd be huge for all those teams to try and get up to two and stay there.
Yeah. Yeah. And likewise in Division 4, like, you got Carlow on 8 points, Longford on 7, Tip on 6, Wicklow on 6, London on 5, and Antrim and Leitrim on 4. Like, technically, I think Antrim and Leitrim can still get promoted, but let's just leave them out of it for now. You know, London have an outside shot. They've got Carlow away and Antrim away in the next two games. But the other four above them, Wicklow, Paddy's big tip for promotion at the start of the year. They've got Tipperary at home next.
I'm on Carlow now, Tommy. Conversation with Joe Murphy. Home to London. Pick up the points this weekend and they'll get there.
They've got London at home and then Leitrim at home in round 7. What impressed you from chatting to Joe about what they're at down there? Because he obviously came into the job late last year
He asked about that kind of just unusual circumstances to take over a team the week of a championship match. Obviously, that was well publicised last year. Shane Curran had walked away, and he just spoke about putting a bit of Carlow-ness back into the group and having people, everyone involved in Carlow GAA, and just a lot of what it means to represent your county. And this is the same story for Carlow or any of the other counties. If you're a young lad there, making it appealing and enjoyable to represent your county and have people involved, not just the players, obviously, but coaches, anyone involved in the group are passionate about, they're from the county and they want to help the team progress. And that's just a powerful environment to be in. And I know that that's difficult for lots of counties, and it's not saying any other way is not the right way to do it. But just the philosophy seems to have ingrained there, and you spoke about just the freedom as players are playing with, very attacking style of play. Nearly all six of their forwards are scoring in every game. Just, it was an impressive story, having taken over in quite difficult circumstances, you know, to be able to put his own stamp on things, but just the culture he's trying to ingrain about representing Carlow. It was just very interesting chat. So something to keep an eye on. They went out and were beaten then at the weekend after that. But you feel like they get the horse back on the road this weekend and they get a win against London and they're more or less there and promote to Division 3, which would be a brilliant story for them as well. So,
yeah, it'd be huge for them. And Longford just behind them in second place. A couple of really impressive young forwards. Oran Kenny, who was top scorer in the Longford Championship last year, is coming good. And Matthew Carey, who's caught the eye in a lot of games. They've got Leitrim away this weekend and they end with what will probably be a promotion shootout if they win against Leitrim, against Wicklow. They have a home game there in Glennon Brothers Pierce Park. So it's all heating up in Division 3 and Division 4. We're going to come back after this and we're talking Division 1 and Division 2 on the Football Pod.
OTB GAA.
All right, welcome back to the Football Pod with Paddy and James. Fellas, a lot of big games in Division 1 and Division 2 this weekend. Look, there's no getting away from Croke Park on Saturday night. There's a lot on the line. Meath, who are playing their home games in Croke Park this year as Park Talton undergoes redevelopment, are facing Tyrone. A lot to be said about the promotion shootout in that one. But later on that evening, in terms of survival from Division 1, we've got a Dublin side, buoyed after a brilliant win in the Hyde against Roscommon last week, up against an Armagh side who are doing so much right, but just can't seem to put the effing thing over the bar and win a game of football at the minute. And I just
think that's... Under the bar, they need to put it. They need to put it under the bar, Tommy. That's the problem.
True. I think that has the makings of a brilliant game because, you know, as well as Armagh may feel like they're playing, you know, outside of winning, they're now facing a Dublin team who have got a lovely little boost and a bit of momentum at a really good time for the Dubs. So before I come to Paddy, James, what are you feeling about Dublin and Armagh this weekend?
I think Armagh are much stronger than Dublin at the moment. I think that Dublin certainly raised the gallop against Roscommon and told everyone that they're still there, they're still tipping around, they're still to be feared to an extent, but I think Armagh are in a different place. Now, I know McGeaney says we're doing everything right but putting the ball over the bar or scoring, but I always say you're only as good as that. You're only as good as your conversion rate. You're only as good as your decision making up front. Can you get the goal? Can you get the points? Otherwise, everything else is a waste of time. You can be doing brilliant on kickouts or the piggery, as he says it. You can be winging all the breaks. You can be galloping up the field. If your conversion rate is down or you're not making the right decision up front, it's literally almost pointless. So that's something that if they do work on and get right, I think they're going to be serious, serious contenders for the summer and for the rest of the year. But it's like, it's something they have to get right, and they must get right, because there's no way forward without it. You have to get that conversion rate right. And Croke Park is probably the time that they can do it. So,
do you think? Is there some fellas shrink, you know, in Croke Park?
Not Armagh, for God's sake. Armagh have been there in their boats. Like, Dublin are there for the take at the moment. They're a little bit vulnerable. You know, that's how I feel with them. I thought Roscommon probably missed a chance last week to really put a dagger into them and knock the confidence out of them. But Dublin fought that game brilliantly and came back. But I think that Armagh will put them under serious pressure this weekend. So it'll be interesting. Obviously, the loser is going to be in big trouble. I think Armagh have to win because their last game is against Kerry, and Kerry have a good record against Armagh. So I think this is going to be the one that McGeaney puts the time into.
The biggest thing, Paddy, is the head-to-head will come down to it, really, like the way we're looking at it.
Yeah,
because Galway are playing Monaghan this weekend, who just haven't, you know, we know where Monaghan are going, and they're on the way down this year. A lot of injuries, and they just haven't been right so far this year. So you can take it that Galway are going to move to 6 points this weekend. Dublin are already on 4. Armagh can join them on 4 if they beat them, and they'll have the doubles and the head-to-head there.
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's a big game in terms of, I do think whoever loses this game is going to be relegated. And it was a major plus and positive for Dublin, the most positive aspect of their season so far, their performance over in Hyde Park. We spoke about it last week in terms of scoring, to hit obviously 5 2-pointers, which has been an Achilles heel for them. There's no two ways about it. The conversion rate from outside the 2-point arc has just not been anywhere near good enough for what they're looking to do. But the score 121 without Conn, obviously that's a question mark. Did we see Conn this weekend, or is Ger Brennan, if there's any sort of knocks or niggles there, okay, it's a big game in the context of staying in Division 1, but you're not going to risk someone like that
5 weeks from answer
with the championship. Exactly. So it's interesting to see that. I think from a Dublin perspective, you're looking for, again, we keep saying this with them, this is a brilliant test if you're a young player or you're trying to break into this team, that you're playing, you know, the All-Ireland champions from a couple of years ago. They're well used to playing in Croke Park. Armagh, their athleticism, the power they have, the speed at which they play, Croke Park will absolutely suit their players. They've got a few kicks in the backside. I've said this every week coming on after league games. I think they're playing really well. I accept Jimmy's point that, look, the table doesn't lie, but I think they're ticking a lot of boxes, and one of these days that is all going to click. And the way they play, I feel, could cause Dublin trouble in terms of Dublin's maybe weaknesses. You've seen what Donegal did to them in round one, that really powerful running game. Armagh bring that, you know, to the ninth degree as well. So you're looking for if Jared Brennan's shoes, the likes of Luke Brannock and these guys, Hugh O'Sullivan and goal, younger guys being tested against one of the top teams in the country. You know, you'll get a lot of feedback and a lot of, you could be training well and doing all this stuff over the last couple of weeks. You go to Croke Park and you have a good game. We've said this before in previous seasons of this show. You know, a big performance against one of the big teams in the National League is probably worth 6 weeks of good training in terms of, for a young player. There's a manager going, well, that guy went out against Armagh on a Saturday night in a big game and he performed. It doesn't matter if he trains like shit for the next 3 weeks. That match performance will stick in your head. So that's the opportunity for young Dublin players. And not just a young guy. Like, Kilkenny was mad at a match the last day. Scully, Bugler and these guys, Brian Howard, Ger Brennan was questioning these guys at the start of the league after that poor performance over in Castlebar. So it's an opportunity for them as well. I think it's a fascinating game. I think it's Saturday night in Croker, but that and the Meath-Tyrone game as well. I think they're two brilliant games. I must say I'm slightly worried though. I think Armagh are just, look, with the context of the season, where teams are at, this is nearly like the new beginning for Dublin, for a lot of these players, for the new management team, what they're trying to do. Armagh are on the road a long time. They have aspirations of, one, getting their hands in the Anglo Celt in the summer, and also being genuine, bona fide All-Ireland contenders. I don't think Dublin are in that space yet. So it's not to say they can't pick up a result and build on the momentum from the Roscommon game. But if you're asking me, if you 20 bob to put on this, I think the way Armagh play probably won't see Conn as well. I think Armagh, the questions they'll ask that Dublin team is just, they're strong on areas that maybe Dublin aren't so strong in. So it's a fascinating game, but it's a big ask for Dublin to go back-to-back and pick up another 2 points.
Do you know, I'd love to see what Joe Brennan is saying to the Dublin players this week. Is he almost ignoring the fact it's such a big game? Because almost the likelihood is that they're going to be beaten? Or is he saying, lads, this is a huge game for us, for this team, for our season, and, you know, put a lot of emphasis on it and risk then another kind of
feeling around the group? I don't know if that's a style. I don't know.
You think he'll almost take the pressure off the game?
I think so. If you listen to everything he said through the league, as Tommy, you've been chatting to him after nearly every one of the Dublin games, he said this, you know, we're not worried about opposition, we're not worried about promotion or relegation. I think he said that directly after the Kerry match a couple of weeks ago. It's about performance and trying to find players. So I'd be surprised if he was going in banging tables this week going, this is massive. I do think it is a big game for the group, but I don't think Jerry's going to be saying that to the players. Going, if we don't win this game on Saturday night, you know, in the second week of March, our season's under severe pressure. I think he's going to be looking at performance, and because he's told, that's what he said for the last 6 weeks, you know.
Yeah. What I'd be worried about with Dublin is the way that Armagh kind of attack wide and defend really narrow. That's why I think that you can get at Armagh defensively if you're clever with the ball. You can kick wide and, you know, make angles and come in from there. But they really do attack wide with Jarley Óg, you know, and with Ross McQuillan. And I'm just looking at the Dublin team here in terms of defending those kind of threats down the wing. You know, Luke Brannock is a brilliant player, but is he that?
No.
He's not going to be that Ross McQuillan down the field.
Not many are, but you're right, Jimmy. That pace and intensity of the attack. You see, look at the goal Donegal scored, Shane Malone, on the first night. It takes a period of time to build yourself up to be able to athletically defend that. And Armagh just come in waves and waves and waves. And the profile of this Dublin team, the new iteration, I don't know if there's lightning pace around the team. I don't know. Like I say, Luke Branagh, an example, I don't think this should be his job anyway. I think he could be
a brilliant scorer. He's a 13 rather than a 10.
But the point is, mate, the questions this Armagh team will ask, I'm not sure the makeup of this current Dublin team have, you know, the answers for that type of challenge right now.
Yeah.
It's just come out. Fintan O'Toole from the 42 has just published, he does this every week, Fintan, the live GA Football League coverage this weekend. And we are in for a treat this weekend.
Go on, boys. Give it to us, Tommy.
Saturday, March 14th, 4 p.m, Kerry v Mayo, RT1. 5 p.m., okay, get your second device ready. Meath v Tyrone, the TG Cahir app. 7 p.m., Dublin v Armagh in Croke Park. So a doubleheader in Croke Park. There'll be big crowds in Croke Park because there's so much on the line. But if you can't make it to Croke Park that evening, that's on TG Cahir from 7. Sunday, as we mentioned earlier on, massive game in terms of promotion and from Division 3. Clare v Wexford is live from Park Kisog on the TG Cahir app. At 1:30 on Sunday, we've got Roscommon against Donegal. And then later that afternoon, Monaghan against Galway on TG Cahir at 3:45 p.m.
GA Plus after packing it up or what? Any other game on?
I'll land your horses there, please. Excuse me.
Do you have any breaking news on GA Plus's coverage this weekend? Or are we getting any?
I tune in to the GA Plus preview show on Friday to get all the insights as well as our own insights here. And I would absolutely tune in next Monday for the GA Plus review show.
The pod will be out first.
We'll get the pod out first. But Jimmy, we're keeping our powder dry until the championship. You know that. Do you know what? Those Sunday games are not great.
Maybe not. Maybe I got excited.
Saturday, I get it. Amazing. But
it's all like,
is Roscommon Donegal a great game in terms of the other stories that are going on around the leagues? You know, look at what's happened, Division 2 as well. We said it, you know, would it be maybe watching the Cork game or the Derry match?
They're all on Saturday. Loud Derry, 3:30 Saturday. Brendan Cawley refereeing.
Move that Cork to Sunday. Like, that is a game. Loud Derry. Cork, like, that's a better game than Galway Monaghan, with all due respect.
And it's in RD.
Monaghan are under pressure.
That's going to be a cracker. There'll be 3,000
people. Move that to Sunday.
Probably a few more packed into RD. 3:30 Loud aren't out of the promotion race from Division 2 either. Like, they're in the mix.
That's no gimme at all for Derry. That's going to be a very, very tough game.
But isn't that the point, lads? We spoke about, like, 3 weeks ago, we're talking about Gavin Devlin and Loud just not being at it. Is the hangover from the Leinster Championship last year really genuine? Are Loud on the way down? And they go and beat Tyrone. And the change in this just buzz and narrative around the team. And it could happen on Saturday in that curtain raiser. If Malik O'Rourke and that Tyrone team without Derek Hanneman go and beat Meade, and all the talk around Meade so far, that could be the spark that lights the season for a team. So it can change very quickly. It can change very, very quickly. Good or bad for teams.
Cork have to put themselves in serious pressure, because I think Cork would beat Kildare, but that defeat to Derry, the more I think about it, what happened there? To get beaten by 20 points, right? Pre-Portugal. And not only do they lose their 2 points, but they've put themselves under so much pressure in the score difference. So if three teams finish on 10 or 12, they're gone. I think it's such a disaster.
You get a big performance from them this weekend, though, Jimmy. I worry for Kildare. Kildare and the manner that they were beaten at home by Meade. Big game, televised game, just young players. The momentum seems to be going the other way for that team, and now they're going to Cork, and you'd have to imagine Cork, that training camp. And for John Cleary and those players, they go and put on a big performance and win, which you expect them to do at the weekend. That Derry game is gone there. You can pack it away. That's the beauty of the league. You can pack it that away straight away, and they're nearly stonewalled for promotion again. So,
well, they'll be on.
I think it's a big ask for Kildare to go down there and get something.
There's a good chance, right, that Derry, there's a good chance, I'm not saying it's still happening, but Derry could beat Louth, Meath could beat Tyrone, and Cork could beat Kildare, so they all end up on 10, and then Cork have to go to Tyrone last day out. They're still, that result against Derry, the hammering, if they lost that by 5 or 6 points, they'd still be right in the mix. To lose it by 20 points, I actually can't believe they did that to themselves.
The Royals could beat Tyrone, and then Tyrone are kind of in no man's land for the final game, and then
they'll be thinking relegation. Well, they'll be thinking Tyrone are going to be up the table for Sam Maguire.
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. Yeah, no, there's nothing.
Division 2 football pod. We need it. They need its own show.
Yeah, definitely.
Division 2 is where it's at, because the quality is still really high as well.
Yeah, it is. Cavan play awfully on the Sunday as well, and Cavan will be looking to try and put themselves in a better position than Kildare heading into round 7. And it's worth noting as we get into Kerry and Mayo, 20s championship is this weekend, so don't be getting too excited that you might get to catch a glimpse of Kobe McDonald in Kerry James. I don't think it's going to happen. I know Colin Cooper was saying he was looking forward to seeing him when Kerry play Mayo on Saturday, but
when's the 20s game on, Tom?
Wednesday, they're playing Sligo, so he might get a cameo off the bench, but I'd hazard a guess to say. The likes of Dara Byrne, who's, you know, been brilliant for Mayo so far, he could be back in with the 20s as well. And
I'd be playing him against Kerry rather than playing him in the 20s. They only have him for 1 year.
I'd be wondering, right? Mayo have Connacht Championship, you know, a couple of days after the league final, 10 days after the league final in London. They've got the Rossies coming after that. Do Mayo need to get to a league final? Do they want to get to a league final?
They do. They definitely do. And they would love silverware. Everyone wants silverware. But like, first year in, that bit of bounce, the enthusiasm around Mayo in terms of their youngsters, their forwards, I think silverware would be a phenomenal boost for them. I think they should go all out for it. If that was, from the outside, that's what it looks like they should do. Obviously, they probably have their own long-term plan, short-term and long-term plan. But my God, if they got to league final with those young players, give them a taste of Croke Park in a final. I think that's what they need for their development. But coming down to Tralee is obviously going to be a very tough game. And yeah. Kerry have a couple of big hitters back.
He'll be back.
We've spoken about this before. You target games in national leagues and carry away all Ireland champions in their own backyard. Mayo would have looked at this and go, we want a performance in that game.
Yeah.
Andy has spoken this on this show as a pundit in season one about this. Like, there's certain games in the National League where you look at and go, that's an important game for the season and for the group, and playing the All-Ireland champions away from home is a big game. They didn't circle that, but I still don't think we're going to see Colby McDonald, unfortunately. I'd love to, as I'm sure everyone would, him and the Cliff on the same pitch, but probably not.
I'd love to see him because I want to see what he's like against top defenders, right? And I think that Kerry will play a strong defence. And also, from a Jack O'Connor point of view, you'd like to see him against you to get a read on him. If Mayo don't play him, it's still kind of hard to know what he'll do then come the big day. So there's kind of pros and cons, but I'd like to see him in Tralee just see how he carries himself and what he does and how he operates against
defence. If he played, would Jason Foley mark him or would Jason Foley mark Ryan O'Donoghue?
I don't know. Like, where does Kobe kind of plays out, doesn't he?
That's what I mean. Let him run around. They let him off? You can't let this kid off. Someone's got to mark him.
He's been one of the three up, but he's, you know, obviously part of the kick-out plan too, or he certainly was against Armagh. Yeah. You know, so it's kind of a loose enough kind of a role there, and he's also attacking. When he attacks from deep, from the glimpses we've seen, he's causing consternation so far, but that's an interesting question. Would Jason Foley take him?
They have him for 1 year.
Why? You're speaking like a fan here, Jimmy. You're not thinking strategically as a coach.
I know, okay, but where does the 20s come into this whole argument?
Well, I'd be, right, the 20s is running for the next couple of weeks, right? All his buddies are with the 20s. You want them to enjoy it as much as they can. You're not going to absolutely slog them.
He wants to play with his
friends. You can tell.
Tommy, come here now. If Mayo were to win Sam Maguire, he'd have a million new friends in space in a couple of weeks.
Sam buys a new friends, Tommy.
Kerry obviously made the decision, and the likes of David Clifford and Sean O'Shea never really played 20s, did they?
They were pulled. They played seniors.
Was that Peter Keane? Was that under Peter Keane? Or I suppose,
Did Clifford play 20s at all, no? Did David Clifford play Kerry 20s?
Nah, I don't really think so.
No.
Jesus.
Yeah.
They didn't. No, I reckon if it was 21s, they'd nearly been more likely to play. Because like the whole thing about under 21s was a way stronger.
Yeah, it was. It was
weakened
stronger.
The whole thing at 20s. Like
I think it's weaker. It's definitely weaker at 17s. 20s... Oh, I suppose still maybe weaker. It has a bit. Yeah, it is. It
still
is.
Weaker. I think that they should bring Kobe down, not start him, but bring him on again.
So Jack can get a read on him.
Yeah. See what he can do in the big time in Clare.
Okay.
Tralee. I think he should stay with the seniors. But look, again, they have their own plan.
Okay,
Is the word back that he's going to be playing the 20s match?
I'm just presuming he will be back. You know, there's a lot of the 20s, I think there's four or five involved with the senior panel, and they'll be released back to the 20s. Mayo play Sligo on Wednesday night. Galway play Roscommon in the Connacht 20s, the Laddagh Championship. And in Ulster, Monaghan, Derry and Donegal, Fermanagh, they're on Wednesday night next week, so I'm sure they'll be televised too. You mentioned big hitters being back this weekend, James. Who will be back for Kerry?
I don't know who will be back, but I know that there's...
Jimmy.
Jimmy, get out of it, will you?
Jimmy.
The training is... The gate is locked. Like, as much as I've tried to get up the tree that the Donegal fella climbed up, I can't see into training.
Not with your bad.
Gavin White's definitely back in around there. Dylan Ganey's back in around there. Obviously, we had Tom back last week. Paddy, I'm not sure fitness-wise. He went off against Monaghan.
Okay.
So Kerry will be very strong, no doubt about it.
Okay. All right, boys. There's a big weekend of football ahead. We've build up to as much as we could there, and we'd be getting stuck into all of the fallout from round six. It's kind of where everything really happens this weekend, and we'll get a real sense of where everyone's going to end up ahead Sunday of the
night.
Final
we do Sunday night, will we?
Depends where I am. If I can, I'll try
to the golf course.
No, I'll be at a game. I got two games done this weekend. Don't be slagging me for my golf. Boys, good work.
Great stuff, lads. Cheers, enjoy the week.
Talk to you soon.
Enjoy
the week. Paddy, good luck with your show later on, and we'll talk to you later on.
Tune in.
See you, boys.